You've eaten Gotham's wealth, its spirit, but your feast is nearly over.
This is not my home. It's an operating table. And I'm the surgeon.
Why aren't you laughing?
From this moment on, none of you are safe.
Welcome to the Batman Book Club, a podcast exploring the Dark Knight Library. I'm your host, Ryan Lauer. Batman Book Club is a proud member of the Batman Podcast Network, hosted by Batman on Film. Just go to batmanonfilm.com, click on podcasts, and you'll find the Batman Podcast Network. There's a whole list of other Bat-related shows. I'd also like to dive into other nerdy subjects that all of us love to frolic about in our free time. He's silent. Good. Batman Book Club is also on Patreon. If you like what's going on with the show and you want to help support the show, keep the generators running in the Wayne Manor study, just go to patreon.com/thebatmanbc. Now, thank you for listening to episode 196, Batman in April. I'm not alone. You know how this thing goes. Once a month, I welcome back the King Frolicker, my pal, Peter Arvera, who's taking a break from the mound, you know, from visiting the mounds to talk some Batman comics. Because we're in the... Well, no, I shouldn't just say the mound, but the quartz, the diamond. I mean, this is a very good time for you in the sports world.
Yeah, it's good. It's probably been a while. It felt this good, but it's nice. I mean, I don't know what it's like in the motherland. That's where you are, so I imagine in the land where they grow basketball, things are pretty intense right now. I wish I could experience that. Instead, I have a bunch of savages riding subway trains near me, which is, barely.
Oh my goodness.
They're horrible people, but we can get used to them, I guess.
You're sounding like, it's a decent time. But I mean, I believe I even saw like a message of yours like yesterday that was like, I'm going to watch the Yankees in the afternoon, watch the Pistons in the evening. This is amazing.
Well, yeah, it reminded me of 2000. Yeah. Like it just felt very like out of high school. It was like, oh wow, I feel like these two haven't collided in so long. There was the Paul George Miami eras and facing off against them in the Eastern Conference Finals 2 years in a row. But it's still been a long time. But it's nice to have playoff basketball back in Indiana.
And you chose an Indiana team is like your favorite. So you will always be connected big Pacers to Indiana. Fan. So, I appreciate
that. We were always destined to meet, I guess.
I guess so. It's going to take a while, but since the Reggie Miller days, post Reggie Miller for you?
Reggie's the reason.
The reason, yeah.
Reggie's the reason, yeah. 95, 98, I love talking shit, too. So, Reggie's a big influence on that.
That's your guy.
Yeah, he kind of molded me in a way. Just kind of, yeah, I'm just going to get under your skin because that's what I want to do right now. Reggie's kind of the reason I like basketball in general because because of Reggie, I even pay attention a little bit to UCLA every once in a while. I'm not like a diehard fan, but if I had to pick like a college basketball team, I probably would pick UCLA.
Oh, okay. Let's just stick to
that. But that's like, come March. I'm surprised you don't like college basketball. Growing up in Indiana, it's actually kind of disappointing to me that you became a Michigan and Ag fan, but I think I don't know the Midwest area. So when you told me you actually didn't like Indiana basketball, I was kind of surprised. I was like, oh, so you like Purdue then, right? You're like, no. So I just assumed. I was like, I don't think this guy likes the Sycamores.
I got really into watching basketball. Detroit's the Wallaces in the early 2000s.
That hurt.
That was a really good time to watch. And I watched the Pacers. And then obviously when the two.
So do you lean a little bit? You lean like Michigan? Like it's just interesting because your sports fandom is interesting because you live in Indiana, but you like the Cubs, you like Michigan. It's just cool. Like I always think like when I think of like people who have like a buffet of like sports teams to pick from, I always lean East Coast because it's like New York, Philly, Pittsburgh, Boston, like everything's really kind of close together. Pittsburgh maybe a little bit out there, but like the East Coast, but you've got a wide variety out there.
In Northeast Indiana, from where I grew up, it was 3 hours south, Indianapolis. 3 hours east is Cleveland. 3 hours north is Detroit. 3 hours west is Chicago.
So where would Columbus be? Just curious.
It's about 3 hours, like southeast.
So from even for the hockey Indiana. Team. Cool. I mean, that's cool. So it was a lot of. And you see like a
variety. A lot of people, yeah, varieties. But yeah, and here Fort Wayne is Colts country for the most part. People love Colts, and then IU basketball. But yeah, I don't know.
And then you throw an IU PUI, and you're just totally confused.
I tell you what. So hey, all right, there we go. We're about 5 minutes in here, and we're talking basketball because I think we're delaying the inevitable and kicking off the.
I thought you were just influenced comics. By Bill Ramey, and this was witty banter.
No, it was just I think I was just delaying getting talking. I would rather talk basketball with you
on the Batman book club
than the first Batman book of Batman in April. Pete, this is I'm gonna keep it short and painless, hopefully.
Just give me enough time to open the app. How's that sound?
Batman 146, Dark Prisons Part 2, written by Chip Zdarsky, art by Jorge Jimenez. And I was trying to get to the credits page so that I can mention the colorist because I like giving that talent credit as well, as we should. And I'm still really trying to delay having to talk about it. Like, it's, I think, what do you call it now? Like, oh man, if it's a streak, it's like a losing streak. Mm-hmm. This book is now, it's hit for me, like flat out across the board. Don't like it.
I'm glad you're sitting right next to me right now.
I just don't.
We're on the same train.
I don't like it. It's almost like the book... Like flipping through it now because I read this at the very beginning of the month to write a review on Batman on film. Mm-hmm. And then I haven't approached it in any way whatsoever. Colors by Tomu Mori, Tomeu. I always botch the name. So T Mori.
We apologize for that, by the way.
It's just like, but I don't know, man. I just don't like this. I think it's crap. And I think the what Zdarsky was doing with the backups, that's how you open up this book and trying, he's just going back and trying to make everything connected, you know, in a sense. And like, there's somebody that is this character from the Night book that he did that you and I did not enjoy. He's the one that has been like training the Joker or something. I don't know. Like, and then you don't even get to Failsafe Batman, which is just a joke of a design. I just think the book is crap.
The fact that the Joker is trained now, Joker went through training. That's just, we're making the Joker a little too much like Batman now, aren't we? That seems a little weird, right? They're supposed to be like opposite sides of the same coin, right? Like, you know, good, evil, chaos, order. There is no order or chaos or objective really to what the Joker does other than to what cause madness and fear.
Yeah.
Just, you know,
we don't need it to be inside.
Basically,
the head
like, he basically has. It's basically like every day for the Joker is just I don't give a fuck and I'm just gonna do whatever I want. The fact that you try to structure him is very awkward for me. Mm-hmm. The only redeeming quality of this book is the art. Jimenez again draws one hell of a book. The problem is there's just no substance to it.
I
just don't get it. I'm sorry, I'm tired of Zur and all, and I just yelled at Steve Hell in the face.
Zur, it's Zur, Pete, remember, because it's cool to say it's Zur.
I don't care what it is.
Yeah.
I think Batman 89 Echoes does a better job diving into the psyche of Batman than Batman does. Like, if I had to pick a title about diving into his crazy brain, I'm not picking this one.
I
had to get off my chest.
I can still, outside of the Jimenez part, I'll say Batman's bust out of the prison. And there's a page where he says, only non-powered criminals kept in the basement cells. The tough ones are in containment units up above. Head count has it as 76-1. And then it does like a close-up of like a medium shot of him. And he says, I'm good with that. Like, I like that. I feel like that's kind of Batman-ish, you know?
Yeah, like it has its moments. But
like, really, like, that's it. Like, that's all I'm really that. I don't.
You know Zdarsky has the potential to write Batman. The problem is he's just not writing a story that we enjoy. That's it. Yep. That's basically it.
I don't like this.
He's made Damien unlikable again.
Well, yeah, classic.
Damien has become completely unlikable in this book. But then in Nightwing, he's great.
And then Damien, what is it? He finds another another Amazo Zurnar-ish thing that's coming, or
apparently Batman like found a Mozo. I don't know if it's a Mozo or a Mazo. I can't remember.
Okay.
But we know because of the leaked plan event, we know that these Mozos, these fail safes, they're going to play a big role in the summer blockbuster event, Absolute Power. So
yeah,
this is the beginning. I'm not interested. Get ready. This is the summer. The summer of Batman, summer of robots, Terminators, bat suits without mouths, walking, talking. No, sounds like crap.
Yep. I'm not interested at all. So
garbage. Garbage Batman.
Yep. I can't recommend it at all.
Has Batman collectively been this bad? Collectively across the brand, across all titles. All titles. Even the ones we covered.
Well, let's revisit this at the end after we go through each one, and then we can how many were good and not.
Can we just get Jim Lee on the show and talk to him directly? Because that's who we got to talk.
Jimmy, come on.
What's going on? Are you worried too much about TV, Jim? You worried about these movies too much? Is your focus shifted, Jim? I think that's the problem.
All right. So so the first Tuesday of the month was that Batman book. Also the first Tuesday of the month, Pete, I don't know that you read it. The Batman Scooby-Doo Mysteries, number 4.
I'm reading it literally now.
Okay.
It's right here. There it is. I did not read it.
This one wasn't as fun as the past couple months.
I see books here.
I know the past 2 months I told you of, like, Pete, the past 2 months are ones that I think, like, oh, Pete, I think you'd enjoy this. Written by Shelley Fish, drawn and colored by Megan Huang. The art was, they mostly got him down, but there's even like a close up of Bullock in one of these. And it kind of makes me think of like an Adult Swim show or something where it's like trying to make it look like it's not finished kind of work, you know? Like
an amateur
look to it.
Yeah.
There's a lot of panels
really
that have
feeling
that.
The vibe of Batman and Robin in the book, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
Like, I don't really like this. I like the look of Clayface. That's about it.
Yeah.
But it does seem a little off. I'll give you that.
Yeah. So, it was fine. I think I'd mentioned to you before, I think we actually talked about it last month even, or maybe it was just you and I were, you know, privately talking, that this is, I think, the only Batman book that comes out each month that's completely contained to that issue. You don't have
That would make Bill very happy. He's a big advocate for that.
So, that's kind of nice that there isn't some kind of like, oh crap, what was happening? What was happening? I mean, especially for, you know, the Batman title where it's like, oh crap, what was going on? Oh God, that was, oh God.
Oh.
And now here's the new chapter. So, I think this one was just more like fine than previous issues, which I thought were a lot more fun, and had even told you like, Pete, I think you should definitely track him down. But yeah, there you go. That's it. That's it for the first Tuesday. Second Tuesday, The Batman First Night number 2. Pete, did you read it?
I did.
And
I can't get into this, man. Like, I just
still can't. Okay.
I don't like it. Let's electrocute Batman in the chair. Like, I was like, this is dumb. And then he's like, well, Jim just pulled the plug right before the big vault there. So he escaped. I was just sorry. I can't get into this purple gloves 1940 shit, guys.
You guys, it's 39. 1939,
Peter. Come on. I can't get into this. The jalopy Batman? No, this isn't my thing. I think the art's kind of creepy. I like that. It's scary. I still like the weird rounded bat ears. Give me Echoes, bro. I'll take Echoes over this thing. I'm not feeling it.
I love it. I think it's great. I love it because, well, one, Bruce is in Wayne Manor. You know, that's a nice touch. That's a welcome
compared
feeling.
To what we get to now. Yeah, I'll give you that. It's got certain elements. Yeah.
No, purple gloves is not my thing. But I don't know. I really like if a 1930 comic was created now, this is that, which I know that sounds like stupid, but it's almost like this is how it probably take us back to 1939. This is how their perception of Batman kind of was, you know? And I'm all about that. I like that. And also it takes Batman down to the basics. It doesn't get too tech reliant on things, which I really like. Like, you know, he has a rope and that's like it. I'm cool with that too.
It reminds me of Earth One that way.
Yeah.
It's just the overall story so far. I'm not into it.
Yeah, it's a little surprising of like, you know, basically it's the Monster Men. But yeah, I really like it. And then of course it ends.
I don't like these mud guys.
It ends very reminiscent of the end of an issue in year two, Batman year two. Mm-hmm. So we'll see how that picks up.
Yeah, I love this the goon's haircut early on the bridge.
Yeah.
Like I love how bad that haircut is. It's like such a great like
Milo.
That's
like
not
Dr. Milo's bowl cut.
Like just like a soup bowl cut. It's not even like a bowl cut. it's like a cup of soup bowl cut.
It's wild.
I think the coloring is really good because I like how they use the background to kind of portray emotion a little bit. Kind of like it stands out. Like aggressive things are usually red and orange and actiony. Like the colorist did a great job. Like as a comic book, I think it's very beautiful. I think the artwork's well done. It's the story just doesn't.
Another Pete thing of, hey, it's another Bat book. Art's great. Don't like the story.
I say it a lot. You know, even with like the weird bulging ear, that looks so weird to me when I see Batman like that. Like I always wondered why they drew him with kind of round
bulging
horns. They look
Batman
more like
with
horns.
Bulges.
He looks like the devil.
A little bit.
And that like panel with the black clouds behind him, like the storm. That's very satanic. You know, yeah. He doesn't look like a bat. But it's interesting. Well, neither did Bob Kane's design.
It's true. Thanks, Bellfinger. Yeah, okay. So I mean, are you gonna complete it? And I mean there's one book left. Are you gonna read it even though it's 0-2 for you?
Yeah, I want to see how
just
it
to be
ends,
completist.
Because I got a feeling we're gonna get more of this.
Yeah,
I don't like it. So. Everyone seems to really enjoy it.
So you're on an island.
Sure. Like whatever.
Okay. With Batman 66. 66 echoes Peter Vere Island.
You don't like 66?
No, I remember 66 is on an island.
Oh, that's an island.
There we go.
That's an island off of Chicago. That's off the Chicago River, that island.
All right, fair enough. let's move. You know, I want to give you a shot of a book that you like, of a book for you, because 0-3 so far, Pete. Let's go with Batman and Robin number 8, written by Joshua Williamson, art by Nicola C. Because that's just where we're going with that. Colors by Rex Locus. All right, what do you think of this one?
I like it. It is definitely more of a Robin book, you know. So it's not really a Batman, but there's a lot of Batman elements. Like, I dig the Batman and Shush stuff. Like, I know people want to give her a lot of heat because of her funny name, but I think as a character, she's kind of interesting. I'm like, where are you kind of leading Batman here? Where's this story going? Like, what's going on? Like, and then I just kind of, again, like compared to what we got earlier with Damian in Batman, like this is like a totally different character. Like he's like, when do these two stories even take place? Like Damian's not even anywhere near the prick he is in Batman in this one. And it's just cool. Like I see actual detective work. I see Batman doing things. He's in Gotham City. He's fighting Man-Bat. You know, it's Damian's in high school. To me, this is an interesting comic book. There's a lot of elements in there that I really enjoy. And they're all kind of just intertwined in this really cool story. So, you know, and the art's a little bit like, I say, like traditional comic book art. Like it doesn't look realistic, but it doesn't look cartoony. It's just kind of like in that middle there. You know, it's real enough. And, you know, I dig it.
Meh. For me. It almost leaned a little.
Great sidekicks too, huh?
It almost leaned a little. I mean, like almost even more kiddish than to me. Like it didn't balance that good BTAS almost PG-13-ish for me. That sometimes like some of these books came where I'm like, oh, okay. Like the first night, it's like that's aimed for like mature readers. This and it does it well. Whereas this I feel like is supposed to almost be that like cool book. Like Williamson's aiming for like a cool, fun book or whatever. And it just seems a little
like
too
feels like the Robin books.
Yeah. Okay. Well, there you go. It seems a little just too like kind of kind of cheesy and I don't know. This one took a step back for sure.
It's from previous issues. You love that Scooby Doo stuff, but this is too cheesy.
I know. I don't know, Pete. I'm a mess. I don't know me. So yeah, I read it and I was like, this takes me back to like the first two issues where I was like, Pete, I don't know if I'm gonna keep reading this.
I'm enjoying it. I can't. It's the upper tier for Batman titles at the moment.
Between one of us, we'll talk about it monthly on the Batman Book Club.
Yeah, one of us
in some regard. Unlike another book on that comes out that we don't talk about at all. Let's see. Batman Dylan Dog number 2 dropped also that Tuesday. A story and script by Roberto Recchioni. Sorry. Oh my gosh. Art by Gigi Capanago and Werther Delladera. And this is, I apologize. Yeah, look up the credits. You got this. This one I found fun, like last month's. Maybe not as good, but maybe that was just because I didn't know what to expect approaching last month's issue. And so it just kind of blindsided me with how much fun it was, and I thought it was really good. Whereas this one was like, oh yeah, this one was good, furthered the story, and it was cool. I was trying to remember everything that happened in the first issue, first book. But I mean, flipping through it, the art's good, the story's fun. I mean, it's like a kind of like a 89 heavy influence on it, which of course is a lot of fun. That's right, the Batmobile and the Batwing. Mm-hmm. And Wayne Manor even kind of looks like it, or the manor that he's staying in at the time, not Wayne Manor, or at this location. Yeah, I don't know. It's a fun one for me.
Yeah, this is the sleeper of the month. It back to back, right? It's,
again,
yeah, just because you, I just, it's just good. Yeah. It's a good story. Like, it's not anything epic. It's not anything, but it's nowhere near horrible. It's an entertaining Batman story, and it's an interesting mix and match of these two characters. Again, like, I'm not very familiar with this Dylan Dog guy. Interesting to see him and this Groucho character have such a very strong bond. Yeah. You know, kind of, we're kind of learning a lot of this as we go along, and Batman's mixed up in between, and it's just entertaining to me. Excuse me. You know, just it's well written, it's well drawn. It's I think it's a beautiful book. I kind of like how the colors have like a certain glow to it. Mm-hmm. It doesn't look like every other comic we've looked at this month. I'm a big fan of this book. I'm gonna pick this up and trade definitely.
Ooh,
yeah.
What do you think of the spoiler alert? The inclusion of Constantine.
I probably should have seen it coming. I didn't, but I was like, it's like, all right. I haven't seen John in a while, to be honest with you. So it's kind of an interesting addition there. I just wonder when he's going to get like officially drunk. Like, how drunk is he going to get?
Given the subject matter and everything, it's not surprising that's where he went. And as I'm flipping through now, I've kind of forgot like the last third of it is about like a Constantine adventure, which also brings in Etrigan, and I'm not an Etrigan fan. So I know either. Maybe now I'm thinking about it, it's like, oh, that's probably where my, I was like, yeah, it's not as good as last month. It's like, oh, because the back third of it had a character I don't really like.
It's, and basically,
they went around, you know,
Justice League Dark story. Yeah. I did enjoy the moment with the fortune teller and Batman. I thought that was a good moment. You know, it was quick.
Yeah. Oh, shit. I remember, now I'm forgetting what happened there, because I meant to make a note of that.
It was right before they go meet up with Etrigan. It was like Dylan's idea of like, I don't think he wanted to meet Etrigan, or was
Madame
it he wanted to meet up with Constantine? Oh, it was Constantine. He didn't want to meet up with Constantine. So he met up with this fortune teller chick, and she basically tells Batman, you know, he's like, hey, your parents are proud of you. I met them last weekend.
Yeah.
And then they just walked out the door. And I was like, okay.
Oh, okay. Cool.
All right. That's kind of cool.
Thanks. Thanks. All I needed to know.
Yeah.
Strange lady of the night. Let's see. That concludes it for the second Tuesday of the month.
Did you know there was a Red Hood book out? I didn't read it, but I might backtrack. I have no idea. I got to check that out.
Yeah, I haven't.
Have you heard anything about it?
No.
Okay. Because if we don't talk about it, I don't know if anyone does.
No, I don't know. It might make the Batman and Friends section.
Just being brutally honest.
Yeah.
I don't know how many people actually read comic books and coach podcasts anymore.
Yeah, not a ton. Let's see. Third, on April 16th this month, Batman Superman World's Finest, number 26. Pete, you can get the first swing.
Dude, this was great.
All right.
This is comic book just bliss. Imps, Batman, Robin, Superman, insanity, like, oh, that's fantastic stuff. I love mites, not mites. I love imps. I love Batmite. This is just a blast, man. Seeing Robin, seeing, even just seeing like, Superman and Batmite work together And I normally don't like stuff like this. This is like Kowalski stuff, but I love this stuff. I love imps. They just add a certain element to a comic book that is just, it's what everyone actually thinks a comic book really is. The story about the dead Green Lantern is very interesting. And just, I don't know, when Superman talks to Batmite and then he gives him this suit, but he's like, of course it looks like Batman. Like, I just laughed. This is a lot of fun. Wade has really hit his stride here. And Moore just draws an absolutely stunning book. I wish that they made action figures out of Dan Moore's drawings.
I liked this more than I thought I would, but I didn't love it. Because given that I don't care for the imps like you do, it was a little like, at times. But then at times, like, oh, this is cool. Oh, this is cool. And I think then with you on Moore, it kind of draws the shit out of this bonkers issue. Well, yeah, anything. But like this bonkers issue, like there's some pages where, you know, I'm flipping through right now. It's like 2, 4, there's 5 panels and each one is like drastically different in the sense of like, he's not just drawing like the same, you know, same background with the characters moving here, then a little bit more to the right, then a little more to the right. It's like, now it's 4, like 5 different things. And it's like that on every single page, you know,
it's like every panel is an explosion of color. Like panel looks the same. I mean, just look at this one here. Like Robin breaks through, like Super Robin breaks through the glass. You go from like reds to oranges to purples to pinks, back down to like, I don't know, like muted pinks. It's insane. I don't know who the colorist is, but they did a fantastic job.
Tamara Bonvillain,
absolutely gorgeous book.
Yeah,
you know, and great even looking book. All characters from Flash, and I mean, it's an ensemble story. We have a lot of fun here. This is a fun. Yeah. This is a good old fashioned fun time. Everyone looks great.
I think
there's nothing negative to say about the artwork.
So complimenting, at least I think you can feel through this. So yes, the art is great, but I think you can tell that Mark Waid's having a really good time with the story.
Yeah.
Like you can just, I don't know. It sounds like, you know, cheesy as hell, I know, and corny to say like you can feel that he's having fun, but I mean, I don't know. I think you just know. Yeah. He's enjoying doing this, and so I'm not at a love level of this, but it's like I had a good time with it, and I was kind of like I don't know, especially was it last month had the Joker and
Lex
Luthor story and then like the prologue to this one, and we were both on the issue overall like it was middle of the road for us.
I was all about the imps. I was all about the backup.
And because, you know, this stuff I usually have always just like avoided when it comes to this. Who do you think that this dude is in the
I have no idea. Like, I can't figure that out, but I can't wait to find out who it is. Because like Wade's going to give us something where we're going to have to dive into it and look at it and see what it is. Like, who is this guy?
Oh, Mark.
He did that with David. Like, I had to look back at David and go back to World's Finest to find out where that suit originated from. And David ended up being Magog.
Oh, yeah.
And now we're who that was,
led
us into Geo-Force, which led us into Terra, and then Deathstroke and the Teen Titans. And I said, Lauer, what have you been reading all these years? And he tells me, this is your champion. This is your champion, Ryan Lauer.
Right here, yes. Also that Tuesday, he said sleeper book of the month already, but actually this is his sleeper book of the month, Batman Offworld number 4.
Dude, I didn't read this thing, but I flipped through it and I was like, if you take the Master Chief and you put him in a Batman skin, that's what this book is. It's Halo with Batman. That's all that this is. So there you go. If you want that, you can read it. I'm not into that. You could mail all these copies to Justin Kowalski's house. I think it's 135 Riverside Drive, Sacramento, California, 086925. You can mail them there. He's willing to, and he's going to accept them and sign them and mail them back to you for his outlandish Batman.
So, good for him. Get that. I, as you were just saying, that was the first time that I looked through this. not for me. You and I didn't read it.
Halo with Batman?
That's a good comparison.
Trey Jackson's gonna love this.
All right.
This sounds like right up Tracy's like, wait, Halo, Batman Halo? I get into this.
Oh, wait, hold on. I wasn't all for this, but now let me think about
this. Yeah, he's like, wait a second here. You're throwing in the Master Chief.
And now Pete's got me. Oh, let's see. The next one we had. Okay. So Pete wants to go to bat for Batman 89 Echoes. I want to go to bat for this series, Batman Dark Age, number 2. I really wonder, Pete, if I'm on the Dark Age Island, because I don't know that I've talked to many, like, I haven't personally talked to many people that are all in on this. And it really surprises me, because I think that this is a, like, so this is book 2. I think that this book is good. I think, mm-hmm. like, sure, it's, yes, it has, you could almost say, I don't think you could full on say it's retelling the origin, because it doesn't really change. Most of the times what we have is,
it's like telling key moments of the life or his career.
And it doesn't drastically change anything. It's not like Thomas and Martha Wayne didn't get shot in it, like, outside of a theater. They did. It's not like Bruce didn't end up going, like, overseas for some training. He did. It's not like Bruce didn't decide to become a bat. He did. It's just like moments between these big moments that are, you know, canon. It's like going, like, a little deeper into it of what happened here. And the first book, I could see people being turned off on the first book just because we were following teenage Bruce, who is kind of being a little bit of a brat, which I actually thought, like, oh, this is, I'm okay with this as long as this isn't Bruce the whole book, because, okay, you have a rich kid now without parents. He's at the mercy of himself, and, like, he has no rules. What is he going to be like? I think that's pretty true what would happen. And then he finally did get hit with, like, no, you did, like, with somebody that was there to put their foot down, and it wasn't going to go his way. A key lesson for Bruce to turn into the Bruce that we know. This one goes a little further with that. And, like, what happens after he ends up, you know, his sentencing, and that he's in the big house and people gunning for him and all that stuff. And then where he goes, and we meet, like, a key character of Batman's rogues gallery. And I thought that was, like, that didn't stray too far from what we know. It was different for sure. The setting was different for sure. But, like, at the core of it, like, it kind of felt very similar, you know? And so I was completely fine with this too. And a surprise appearance by Mr. Oliver Queen, which was also kind of cool. It doesn't all have to be connected to me, but I don't know, like, this book too, you know, two books in, I think it works for me on kind of a different telling, but it's not like pissing on the 85 years of Batman. You know, it's just a different telling that still steers pretty damn close to what we know. Now go ahead and be on the other side of this.
Yeah, I don't like seeing Bruce Wayne oldish in kind of like this senior citizen center setting. I feel like he wouldn't be in one of those things. It doesn't vibe with me. I don't like the Bruce Wayne being in jail part. None of this really jives with my kind of Batman sensibilities, like Bruce Wayne going to prison. Like, that's kind of weird, even though I'm a big actual fan of Bruce Wayne Fugitive, Bruce Wayne Murder.
Oh, I think I'm a big murderer. Fan of prisons.
No.
I'm a big fan of prisons.
I think that's a classic Batman storyline that none of people talk about. I don't like this. The Vietnam War setting isn't my thing. The whole Ra's al Ghul thing, then getting discharged, I don't like it. I could care less about Oliver Queen. I thought that was fine. That's the least of my worries. I don't enjoy this at all. I like Aldred. Is that his name? I can't remember. His art's fantastic.
Aldred. Yeah.
Yeah. I love that stuff. I mean, I've been a fan of his since his Silver Surfer days. That's good stuff. Love the art. I got issues with the story, but I just don't like how a lot of these characters are positioned. You know, I get what they're doing in the role. I just like, that's not how I would have done it. Like, I get it. Roz, gotcha. It feels very Batman Begins-y. Let me train you. Da-da-da. Here's my crew. Da-da. Let's go do this. Buildings are blowing up around us. I just don't like how they're really positioned to make these decisions. It's not my thing. I'm not in this.
What I have seen is that, you know, a lot of emphasis, and now you went a little further with it, emphasis on old man Bruce in the retirement home. I see people's, like, complaints. But I guess that doesn't bother me, because I'm like, well, that's not the story, you know. It's like the opening of the two books, is him reminiscing, and what, two pages in, now we, you know, and it's like a dip back.
Yeah. I would just prefer him alone with some scotch in front of his fireplace.
But I almost feel like a little bit of an ending is, you know, how Tom King did it, of like, what, he passed away in Wayne Manor. I'd hope that, in which he's not passing away in this book yet, at least. So maybe it is like book six, if he does pass away, it's back at Wayne Manor. I don't know. I guess that just, it just didn't bother me. But I guess I'm kind of surprised, because I did read that first book and I really liked it. And then I read this one, and I really liked it. And just, yeah, I'm just seeing that people aren't fans of it. I'm like, huh.
I do write my fan card.
I'm interested in seeing this false face society kind of evolve, though.
Yeah.
And that's kind of, because I'm like, what's really going on here? Like, what do you plan on doing with them? It's more out of interest, not because I think it's going to be like really good and I'm going to like it, but I'm just like, well, what's really going on here with that? Because it's like, where's Black Mask and everything? You know, like, I'm just trying to like, well, I want to see this unfold. How many issues is this?
Six. Six is good.
Six is good. Six, more than enough for this. Yeah, six is good.
Six is good.
Six is good.
I look forward to it. And I think when Mark Russell was on my show last month, I believe after book three, or is it after book four, there's going to be a 1 month break. So I would imagine it would be after book three, because it's the middle. Yeah, exactly. Like, I'm telling you, before it even gets released, there is a break that we have planned. Okay. Well, and so I got you all riled up, ready to go. Also, that Tuesday, Detective Comics number 1084. Pete, what do you got?
Yeah, I like this one. I think this is good. Like, I think it puts Batman back on track in Detective. Clearly, you didn't read my review. There's a lot of dumb stuff in there, but there's a lot of good things in there. I like where it positions Batman and Gordon, and that feels traditional. I like Batman's reentrance. There's a lot of great references to Rises, Suck at Kowalski, which are really great. Six-Eyed Sally still involved, but you also have the teases of the Joker and further villain Shiva's involved. It's got kind of this, it's not perfect, but it's so much better than the crap he's been writing, which I'm sorry to say that, dude, but like, it's my feelings. I like what Cassandra Cain's been in the backup story. That was cool with Shiva. I think it just, in a weird way, it's kind of like Justice League 17 ish and like, I'm gonna steal Chris Claus here, like, that the ending of that movie put all the characters in the right place where they needed to go forward, right? You know, just kind of like set everything up, like, okay, we know this movie sucks, but at the end of it, everything's set up where we can kind of move on and move forward. That's kind of like where this is. It's like, okay, all that stuff was trash, it was crap, this is where we are now, and we can kind of move forward. Batman being back in Gotham instead of, I don't know, drugged up in some desert somewhere is a hell of a lot better than what we've been getting. And as far as I know, Batman has two hands in this book, so I haven't seen any robot hand at all, so that also makes me happy.
Written by Ram V, art by Javier Fernandez, and colors by Dave McKeag. I'm with you. I don't know the last time that I liked a Detective Comics issue, but I liked this one. Minus, like, right in the middle with, you know, Six-Eyed Sally, Testa Berger.
I don't even know what her real name is. I have no idea what that character is.
I like what you came up with. That was, you know, that was just like, yeah, just go through that. You know, get over that really quick. But yeah, Batman back in Gotham, and he looks like Batman, and he acts like Batman, and he's talking to Gordon, and he's talking to Selina, and like, yeah, that works for me. It's like, that's all I wanted. And like, not in the desert, like you said, with Dr. Hurt taking, you know, all this other weird shit. And then, but I can't act like when he was in Gotham, like before all that stuff either, I wasn't really feeling that. This just felt a little bit more back to basics.
As far as I remember, was he like, he was in Gotham, but he was like kidnapped, and yeah, somebody kidnapped Batman. Like, I was like, that's a great way to start a story. And then they hung him, right? And I was like, oh god, like, I don't even remember if he was actually Batmaning.
I thought it was a mess.
Yeah, detective. We'll see.
This one actually I enjoyed. And then A Man with a Smile ends the issue. So all right, let's see what happens with that.
Yeah.
Let's see. Batman the Brave and the Bold number 12 also came out that month.
Mm-hmm.
That week. Puts a cap on the Mother's Day story by Carl Kerschel. That one was aight. Felt a little like not too surprising. It felt like, as weird as it is, it's almost like safe, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like, the story felt like safe. Like, oh yeah, I don't know exactly how it, like, what's going to happen every page, but yeah, he's gonna end up defeating and blah blah blah. And then it's just the weirdest hell monstrous snake that's a mother to man bats. That's just like, I don't know. That's weird.
Yeah, it's kind of
loses me.
I just appreciate the Batman and Robin team up work in this book. I really like that. I think Mia is a huge standout character. She's like my Phoebe Spangler for Batman. Like ever since I've met Mia, I've really kind of fallen in love with this character, and I really like her, and I'm happy she's way cooler than Damian ever was. The ambulance stuff was really creative. I know the vampire Batman's vampire Bruce Wayne's a little weird.
Yeah.
And when they did this whole like serpent snake, like full page splash page thing, I thought it was the end of the book because like digitally, when you read them for reviews, they show you the covers. I was like, oh, is that the cover of the next book? Was this to be continued? And then I was like, oh no, there's the splash page. That was weird. It felt a little Batman reptilian, to be really honest. I was like, that's kind of funky. Why would Anaconda give birth to Man Bat? But I dig this Mother's Day story. I really like this. But it does get a little weird when Batman is fighting what's that name? Medusa.
Yeah. Right, Medusa.
That's it.
I'm seriously just gonna say, and then at the end, it's like breaking news worldwide: Bruce Wayne, get it in.
And
you fell for that with Isla, I think it says that the name was the one that he was gonna get it in with like two issues ago. She ends up seeing on the TV that he's, you know, that was kind of like the sacrifices of Bruce Wayne. I know what we just said, the sacrifices, but he basically, it's a good character that he's basically just kind of got to be an a-hole to keep up appearances.
Yeah. No, it's good,
like,
stuff.
Okay, that's good stuff. And then at the end of the book, it's a black and white story called Henchman, written by Herrick Hanna and art from Charlie Adler of Walking Dead fame.
Ooh,
this black and white story ruled, P. I don't know if you read it.
Yes, I did.
I think this is the best one of all the 12 Brave and the Bolds that have had backups. I think, or that have black and white stories. I think this is the best one.
It felt like the 90s. Was black and white first started in like 90s?
Yeah.
Like old school.
Like
black
96
and
maybe.
Yeah. That's what it felt like.
Yeah.
I was into
it. It's a great, like, it's just a very small, small scale, small space tension of two characters of, you know, and taking a turn towards the end, you know, that you're like, I knew it, but I didn't know it. And then how it ends too is just like a little weird. It also has that great, like, you know, when something like a punctuation at the end, and where you can say like the end, but in your head, the story doesn't end. You can kind of decide what happens next.
I think they should give this dude, Herrick Hanna, a shot. I think they should give this person a shot.
Based on this story alone,
yeah, this is good stuff. Too. Like this is, I'm like, this is potential here. This is whether you want to give him a bigger story on Brave and Bold, or if you want to give
a full issue.
Just yeah, I mean, I'm issue. Just saying, like, I don't know how this works. I don't know how you get to Batman, right? You know what I'm saying? Yeah. I'm like, give him Batman, please. Give Tom King Batman. I'll take Scott Snyder back. Well, I don't know about that. We'll see what this absolute thing is about. I'll take almost anybody back at this point.
Well, it just made me think of, like, I'll plug it. Why not? On a podcast with Batman Film, you and Bill talked about the state of Batman comics. And, you know, it was almost like, what would you like with Batman comics? In my head, I mean, I always go to Legends of the Dark Knight, the original title, you know, and how there are so many good, you know, like three or four issue arcs. Some had five. Sure. But like a title where what is every single issue is just self-contained, completely on its own. You don't have to read other stuff. And then it's like, you have this team right here. Hey, you know, this idea you did with Henchman, a full 22 pages where you follow up this issue or expand on this issue. That's it. And then bring back another team the following issue and do whatever they want for just one issue. You know what I mean? That's just kind of what I thought with reading this and hearing your guys ask that question. I'm like, yeah, that's what I think I really want right now. Instead of, well, we got to continue Batman's hands chopped off here, but it's not here. Batman's out in the desert doing drugs, talking to a bat god. In that book, but he's not doing that in this book. It's meh. Yeah. Yeah. Trying to keep it all connected. Yeah. Don't need it.
It's a bunch of crap.
This was a rare time where there were five Tuesdays in this month. So there was something released on the final Tuesday on April 30th. It's called DC Spring Breakout. Now I put that down on our rundown, Pete, only because it's an oversized issue, an 80 pager, but there is a Batman story called Cold Feet, written by Thomas Krajewski or Krzyzewski. Sorry, Thomas K. Art by Wes St. Clair and color by Ivan Placentia. It's a Mr. Freeze story, which you could probably tell by the title of Cold Feet. Did you read this short?
No, I didn't. How was it?
It was really good.
You liked it?
Yeah, like two of the best bad things of this month were shorts. Yeah, it's a Mr. Freeze story. It does feel a little animated series. And then like they'll let I want you to read it. Period. Okay. And it will take you.
Did you read anything else?
No. No, I just went right to that one and that's all. But it's like it's a 10, 13 pages maybe. It's a breeze of a read, but it's a really good one. And there's like a flashback in it that relates to the present, which is really cool. Mm. And yeah, I highly recommend that if you just need to go in the comic shop to grab it and read it in the shop, go for it. It's a good story worth checking out. And yeah, that does it for Bat Books. So I know what that means, Pete.
What's that mean?
Also limited, just one book this month. The Penguin, number 9. Let's see. Yeah, I thought it was really good. A bugaboo of mine.
Mm-hmm.
Is the, I don't know, I forget what you call it, but rather than like saying the F-bomb, you use four different, like it the was ass called, symbol, the
yeah,
pound sign, the like
expletives.
There was too much of that here. Like the yeah, whole issue, the one detective, which I know she popped up in Killing Time, I think, or was introduced then. And I forget her name. It's like part of her character, but like it was happening throughout the whole issue to me. And I thought it was too much. And outside of that, I thought this was consistent with what we've been reading. I don't full on there. It's funny because I also think there's times where the book doesn't move that quick, like not a lot's accomplished, and I think Tom King's having fun with his like dialogue a lot, and that's almost a focus rather than like moving the story. But yet also it doesn't really bother me because there's a lot of Batman and Penguin and then Batman and Gordon in this could almost just fit under the Batman and not Batman and Friends for this month. Like there's a lot of Batman in it and I think it's cool. You and I have been in on this series since the first issue, and yeah, this definitely doesn't mess with that in any ways. But Rita at the end, I was scratching my head. I forgot who Rita was.
Hmm.
Do you know? Do you remember? Rita. At the very end? No? Doesn't?
I'm not ringing bells.
Okay. All right. There you go.
I think. I don't know. We'll see what happens. I gotta look back at it. Rita. I don't know. I thought it was cool how they introduced what's her name though. Silver St. Cloud's sister.
Is it her sister or cousin?
You're right, cousin. I think it's
This girl is St. Clair.
Yes, that's right. Sorry, cousin. Because I was like, oh, Silver St. Cloud's my favorite Bruce Wayne girlfriend.
Yeah. Lisa St. Clair. There we go. Yeah. You know, I believe you know my cousin Silver. And of course you mentioned that. And yeah, like you. Like, yeah, that's Bruce Wayne's best love interest. The Silver St. Cloud.
Yeah.
Person who got it in.
Who the hell was Rita?
I know. That's what I was doing. I was looking.
Maybe we haven't learned
about
Rita yet.
Man, I felt like we knew her. I don't know. But yeah, somebody else can tell me if I'm missing something. Yeah. All right. But yeah, go ahead. You like the issue too, though. I mean, you said right
there. No, I did. I think it's great. I think Penguin overall has been fantastic.
Yeah. Yep. I don't think it's been a bad issue.
No. Tom King,
no.
He hasn't lost a step.
No.
He has not, when it comes to Batman, at least.
It's like, yeah, he gives Batman the French flipper trick. That's all I got. So now I give it to you. What do you want?
Poison Ivy 21 is a great book. It really furthers along the origin. The back end of it really is Batman heavy. Lau, I know you hate female villains, but I think you should really check this one out, especially the back end of it, because she's really kind of just kind of messing around with Batman a little bit. But I'm really digging this book. I mean, I love what Willow Wilson's doing. She's incredible. Nightwing 113. This was fun. I really dig this. The whole Babs and Nightwing stuff is great. It's cool to see, Damian so likable in this book compared to what we've been getting in other titles. And there's a little tribute to that was written by Marv Wolfman to George Perez, which is, it's very heartbreaking. It is because, George is gone and he's a big part of Nightwing. And it was nice to see. It was a nice little addition there that they had. And the backup story is a lot of fun. There's no dialogue. It's just kind of a bomb ticking down. Nightwing saves the day type thing. And it's really cool. But Nightwing 113 is really good. And I got a Catwoman. I got to give credit because I thought Catwoman 64. I put this in the Facebook group for Babylon Film. I was like, this is like based on the cover. I was like, comics can do things that movies can't, but I love this book. This is kind of fun. She actually like goes into space and steals something. And I was like, as far-fetched as this is, if this makes sense for Catwoman to do it this way. But the outfit of the cover is absolutely ridiculous, but the book itself is really good. And I really like what Howard's been doing with Selina. Even though now she has like some supernatural nine lives thing going on, but like,
oh, geez.
Yeah, I think she's down to six right now.
Six is good.
That's what they tell me.
And that's it. That's it for your Batman and Friends.
That's it for Batman and Friends.
That's it for comics in April.
Yeah, that's it for comics in April.
Let me ask you then, Pete.
Ask me.
A question.
One question.
Yes, you've got a question?
What was your favorite issue of the month?
It's got to be World's Finest. Like, favorite has to. See, World's Finest. It's just the most fun.
Okay. Man, I'm gonna stretch the rules a little bit. And I'm gonna say it wasn't Brave and the Bold overall as an issue. It was the black and white story at the end of it, Henchman. Man, I love that one. I just I think it's some of the best.
Nice.
Like, of the month. Yeah, it's just like that's my favorite story of the month. Also, Pete, remember, I almost forgot, but I shame on me. Remember we had Mitch Reisler, the man who sent in a year's worth of questions for us. And I said we'd answer one question every wrap-up episode.
Okay.
Let's keep this one. Maybe this is easy. In the Batman's world, who is the creepiest villain?
The creepiest? I think it's got to be Professor Pig, right?
Oh, really? Okay. Sure.
That's creepy. He's pretty creepy.
He's creepy.
Right?
Yeah. Because
he's kind of like, I don't know, weirdo van candy guy, right? Wears an apron, funky looking. You know, he's creepy.
And an unhealthy obsession with the opera.
Yeah.
that's good though. I appreciate the deep pull. Mine goes maybe even deeper. To me, the creepiest villain in Batman's world is Cornelius Sturk. That is a disgusting thing. And Breyfogle drew him brilliantly. And
is that the guy who becomes the spider thing?
No, Sturk, he's the one that it looks like he's always eating stew and he's got like three teeth in his upper gums and he's always saying, sir, sir. But yeah, he's a cannibal.
No, wow. All right, good call.
Oh, type in Cornelius Sturk. Just do it real quick.
Cornelius Sturk. This is great for radio, by the way.
Yeah, I know. Anybody at home, go ahead and look it up. He was also in one of the issues for The Whitening Gyre by Kevin Smith, and he was drawn really well there too.
Yeah,
he's
just as disgusting. That's pretty creepy.
That's pretty disgusting, dude. Yeah, that's probably who I'd go to right away.
Who read Bloodlines and knows who I was talking about? That guy who ended up becoming a spider. Oh,
oh man, I don't know. I
see. Justin or Hoss will probably remember it.
Was Stirk in Gotham?
I don't,
your favorite show of all time?
I didn't know this. Forget that, man.
Because that's what pulled up, and I was trying to look up some pictures. Yeah. Cameron Omidyan as Cornelius Stirk on Gotham. That's probably
why I didn't remember. It was a blocked everything for that stupid show. Thank God for Colin Farrell and the Penguin.
It's gonna be what Gotham should have been. So there we go. So that's our third question from Mitch. So yeah,
Zane Chung tried to destroy Batman.
Emailing and a bunch of questions. We've got, let's see. So Pete, we've gone through three of these. 1, 2, 3. We have 6 left. 6 is good. My God, it's a running theme today. 6. Very cool. So, all right, Pete, that's going to do it for us on this one. So, overall,
how many of these do you think Holzman read?
All of them.
I think so, too.
He's already read next month's.
I think he's read next year's. I think he's a year ahead of us.
He's writing next year's.
He gets pre-approved Aquaman books. Like, he gets final
Holzman.
Yeah.
Eric Holzman.
Champion.
Known worldwide. Champion worldwide. Overall, I forget what you asked about something with the... Yeah, something about with Batman books collectively.
When was the last, in your lifetime as an avid Batman reader, has Batman ever been this bad collectively across the brand of published comics?
I can only speak, I think, because since you and I have done the wrap ups, is when I've been able to read everything.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to think. While Tynan was doing Batman, who was on Detective? That was Tomasi at that time, wasn't it?
Yeah.
So that was good.
Whenever one was usually during having a lull, the other one was very good.
The other was good, yeah.
I can't remember a time where they've been equally bad at the same time.
So I think I can just go over the years. Yeah, it's like just putting up the legacy titles and kind of blocking out, because it's unfair to say if, like, sometimes there weren't as many Batman, like, other titles out as, like, now, as other moments. I just think the two legacy titles. But then look at this Detective this month, though. Actually, surprisingly, we kind of enjoyed it. But overall, the run, we haven't. So I don't know. I go as strong leaning into saying this is the worst collectively Batman books have ever been. I'm not as enthusiastic each month as I once was. I'm not as optimistic.
I will say that this has been the worst that Batman books have been collectively.
There you go. Okay.
For me, in my reading experience, so we're talking, geez, I probably started buying with my own money 2004, like going to the comic, going to the comic book shop every Wednesday with my own money, my own driver's license. Yeah, 2004, I'd say.
Okay, it's here. It's 20 years.
Yeah, 20 years.
20 years and
yeah, this is the worst.
20 years and
I mean, I've read some back issues, and Batman's had a couple, like, I can't remember. I got to go look it up on Twitter, because I remember I put up one issue of, it was like, I don't know, forget it was Batman or Detective. It was like 680 or something like that. And I was like, this was a bad story. And Jay Oz was like, yeah, this run was bad. It's like the next 15 issues are rough. I'm like, dude, it's not good. But like that's really all I can remember is, like, you know, they had like runs, but this has been months.
Yeah.
Years.
Night's darkest, you know, like, just before the dawn, Pete.
You guys all complained about Tynan and Detective. Man, we're sitting pretty on that all these years later. Go read Gang War.
No, we're not.
Go read Gang War. Go read Joker War. Tell me that's not fun. Go on. Go do that.
I said that one was all right, and I stand by that. Before that was Fear State, which was just as much of a mess.
I didn't tell you Fear State.
No, you said Tynan. Well, you selected a little portion. I could tell you to go back to Zdarsky and do a little piece of Zdarsky. Fear State was a company
initiative. Tynan did what he was told. Detective is all his, and his Batman run.
Okay.
But Fear State affected the brand as a whole. That's not, you know, he had to write future stories like everybody else did.
All right. Okay.
It was still better than your Batman book, by the way, when you were writing it.
My Batman book?
your Batman book. It's your Batman book. It's my detective. It's your Batman.
Oh, okay. I was saying, how do you know that I'm writing my Batman book? The villain is a Holzimon.
Think of him as like, he's like this orange Godzilla that comes out of Long Island.
Yes.
Oh my God. Holzimon.
Yes.
Holzimon versus Lauer Power.
And I would love that if you and I continued to insert him into every wrap-up episode, he would never have any idea.
I was actually thinking last night, if it ever came down to Holzman or Hasbulla, I would not be able to choose.
Yeah, it would be tough. How are you supposed to? You're supposed to be loyal to both.
I would just cease to exist.
All right. Well, you do.
I would spontaneously combust.
And you've mentioned Hezbollah. So why don't you tell people where they can follow your Hezbollah exploits?
You can follow me on social media at Pete Illustrated across all major platforms, Vero especially. I know everyone's still hot on that.
Yeah.
To X and Instagram, especially for the Hezbollah stuff. BatmanOnFilm.com, Batman on Film YouTube, Batman Book Club Monthly, Straight Out of Gotham. Episode 150 is coming. Everyone should expect their invites very soon, coming from Holzman.com. What else is there? There's the Italian Spider-Man Coalition episode to be recorded this weekend. So that's coming. Keep up with that, because the I'll tell you what, Spider-Man books are beating Batman books in terms of quality books by a million to one right now. The Spider-Man brand right now is on fire across all titles. If you want major, you know, superhero shenanigans, Spider-Man's where to go. I'm telling you right now, not just because my show, because you got to listen to Ryan, but you know, it's just better overall. So read that if you want to go comics. If you're complaining about DC Comics in general, I highly recommend reading Shazam, because that book's fantastic. Just so we're on, you know,
just so he's covering his all bases.
I don't want people to think that we hate DC Comics in general. Like Shazam and the Green Lantern books are fantastic. Read that stuff. That's great. Don't read this Batman Detective.
I think our shelves, our bat shelves, and our archives show that we do not like DC Comics. Like, we are big fans of DC Comics.
Yeah.
Given them the money and done the work. They could just be better than they are right now. Let's see. As for the Batman Book Club, follow on the social media things at the Batman BC for latest episode drops, upcoming episodes, sometimes even some giveaways. If you heard at the beginning, this is episode 196. Episode 200 is coming soon. And yeah, it's a good one. I'll tell you that much. Subscribe to the Batman Book Club YouTube channel, where Pete and I have been on the No Man's Land adventure, checking out the Road to No Man's Land omnibus this year.
I've been trying to get him to do this show. I've been hitting him up. I said, Ryan, call me No Man's Land. He doesn't answer me. He doesn't call me back.
That's a lie. But Pete and I are going to go into the No Man's Land omnibus soon this year. It's going to happen. So make sure you go there. And there are some other video episodes and like some interviews and stuff like that I've done that are pretty fun. Let's see, if you want to support the show, you can do that in a variety of ways. Like I said at the top, patreon.com/thebatmanbc. You can also go to tpublic.com and type in TBBC for the Batman Book Club. But if you want to support the show and you don't want to spend any money at all, it's 100% A-okay. Just go to the rate and review page of wherever you get your podcast. So Apple, Spotify, Amazon, iHeartRadio, Google Play. Just go to the rate and review section and rate and review the show. Uxus Radio. Rate and review the show. Because the more reviews the show gets, the more it helps spread the word. And as you, me, and Pete, and everybody knows, that word is panic. So, for the Frolicker, I am Ryan Lauer. And until next time, read my Batman comics. I don't follow.